Stop waiting for permission to start your business. Your idea is one step away, and Shopify can make it easy to make it happen. That's what we did at Crypto 101 and use Shopify to sell our book, and the rest is history. The thing I like about Shopify is it takes the scary part out of starting. You're not just sitting there trying to figure out a website, payments, checkout, inventory, all these little things that stop people before they even launch. When I think about building a storefront, the biggest thing is friction. You want someone to land on your page, like what you're selling, and be able to buy without getting stuck. That's where Shopify is huge. Shopify Checkout is built to help more customers finish their purchase. And when they come back, their details are already saved. One tap and they're done. The cool part is Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide, from huge brands that you know, like Mattel and Gymshark, to small businesses just getting started. So whether you're building the next big brand or launching your first product, the infrastructure is already there. Once that part is handled, you can focus on the real work, building the brand, getting attention, and bringing people to your storefront so the business can grow. That moment when someone actually buys, that's when the idea becomes real. With Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and a real business, so go make it one. Start your free trial today at shopify.com/crypto101. That's a free trial at shopify.com/crypto101. August is a good time to clean up the closet a little bit. Get rid of the summer stuff that you didn't use, prepare for your autumn wardrobe, and upgrade the basics that you'll actually reach for every week. That's why I like Quince. They make fewer, better pieces that feel premium, but don't come with the luxury markup. For me, the piece I keep coming back to is the 100% European linen drawstring beach pants with the matching shirt. I love wearing them on beach vacations because they're easy, they're breathable, comfortable, and they look put together without feeling like I'm trying too hard. Throw them on during the day, wear them by the water, or dress up a little bit at night. That's the kind of staple I actually use because it has versatility. And that's really what Quince does well. They specialize in everyday pieces that work harder, like ultra-soft organic cotton tees and premium Magnolia and cashmere sweaters that can go from a casual workday to dinner out. If your basics are starting to feel worn out, Quince makes it easy to upgrade with premium denim and tailored chinos from just $60 with the fit, structure, and quality fabrics you'd expect from a luxury designer brand. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middleman, so you're paying for high quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a go-to for everything from hotel quality bedding and bath essentials to premium cookware and travel must-haves. Guys, you've been hearing it for so long now, how I tell you, you have to go to quince.com because the website is so fun for all the options that they have. It's a great website to go click around, and the prices can't be beat. Upgrade your everyday. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers. Go to quince.com/crypto101. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too. That's quince.com/crypto101. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Crypto Rundown, a special Friday rundown where Pokemon cards are outperforming the S&P 500, and somehow that might be one of the biggest crypto stories of the week. But we also got some more traditional news to cover. Bloomberg is now covering these tokenized Pokemon cards. Collectors are saying it has crossed the $1 billion in revenue, and while that's happening, the SEC just abruptly canceled a crypto vote. Brian and I are getting out the tinfoil, wrapped around our heads. We got some theories on what's going on down in D.C. with the crypto, the Clarity Act, and we're going to cover that today. And then finally, Fidelity is bringing some ETH staking, and Tether is back in the spotlight after passing a KPMG audit. Guys, we're covering everything from Pokemon cards to KPMG auditing Tether. It is a jam-packed Friday episode. We're going to ask that you give this video a like right off the bat because it's going to be so good. And if you're new here, hit the bottom right and subscribe. Brian, happy Friday. Welcome to the show.
Man, appreciate it. A good old Friday rundown. I messaged you today. I love me some Friday rundowns with you and the community. And you gave some indications. There was I had to stock up on the Reynolds wrap because I do have some tinfoil theories out there, some interesting theories about what's happening here. And excited to dive into it with you, TiVo. It's always a blast.
Yeah, it is. And we're going to start off with something right in your real wheelhouse. It's the Pokemon cards. It's the craze of, you know, in my mind, I kind of connect Pokemon cards to memes. I got a friend group called the Pink Ponies, and these guys can't stop ripping packs. It's unbelievable. I'm thinking like, hey, let's go do a happy hour. We'll hang out. We'll have some drinks, talk shop, talk sports. No, They're rolling in here with packs, and they're just ripping. All they do is they want to rip. They want to do the rip. They want to do the sip. It's unbelievable. They're putting vending machines in bars across Tampa. We can get back to coin market cap later because we just got to break down this Pokemon phenomenon. Because while I'm sitting here and I just don't understand it, I'm not getting involved. I'm not invested. However, I'm looking at these stats, seeing this thing, you know, outperform the S&P 500. And then that's how everybody else looks around is like, well, maybe I do got to get involved.
Dude, I'm not a Pokemon guy. I love collectibles. And it's so funny. You said the vending machine thing. I've been like sending my wife like vending machines I've found on Facebook Marketplace. I was like, all we need to do is put Pokemon in. I don't know if you know what Nidos are, like squishies. Like, kids go crazy for these squishies they sell out everywhere. I go, all we need to do is put those in a vending machine and just kick our feet back and retire. But the Pokemon craze is for real. And this is probably one of my favorite stories of today. Pokemon, its cards have actually been an incredible alternative asset over the years. And like you said, even outperforming traditional markets over certain periods. And then we have Bloomberg covering this boom in tokenized Pokemon cards. And one of the biggest players out there, Collector Crypt, just announced, I might be jumping ahead a little bit, they just announced a $1 billion gross revenue. An important distinction that gross revenue isn't $1 billion in profit, but I think the bigger story is what they're building. You take real graded Pokemon cards, vault it, represent the ownership on chain, and someone anywhere can buy, sell it, or eventually redeem it for a physical card. So normal people don't need to care about Solana or token standards. All they need to care about is Pokemon. And that's what consumer crypto adoption might actually look like, is that crypto infrastructure is in the back end. And this is something as like an NFT guy that Joe and I have always talked about for years, is like, these aren't just JPEGs out there. There's a way to connect on-chain pictures or identity to real assets, these real world assets. And we're seeing this more and more. Collector Crypt nailed it, man. And this is a call of ours in our community as well. Not to shout us too much, but we've talked about this in a lot of different groups, and they're absolutely booming, dude. Billion revenue. No one's gonna take them lightly now.
Yeah, I wish my mom didn't take them lightly. I'm pretty sure I had those sleeves and sleeves of Pokemon cards in my old bedroom, and now they're in a dumpster somewhere in Wilmington, Delaware, in a landfill. So that's how my Pokemon collection is going. But just an absolute crazy story, as you said. A call from your community. We always want to shout out the links below. If you want to get more involved with Brian, check out the links below. And then we do have the number one coin promo going on, a special promo for this Friday rundown. If you guys want to scroll down, it's Brian, it's Bryce, Brendan, the whole team. They get together and they kind of put this report together for the number one crypto to own. So you want to scroll down, check out that link for more. I think what we can do now is pull up coin market cap, because usually that's how we start, and we can just kind of get a gist of the market this week. Again, we're in this range. It's a grind you out range, something that we've predicted definitely through the summer, and you're kind of see it coming into fruition over the top right. We're still in fear. I wouldn't say there's any super negative spots in the price action, but there's definitely not too many bright spots either. You're going to have to lean on Hunter and Brendan for the technical analysis. I kind of watched his market update yesterday, and he kind of gave the playbook of where we are, which is always good to tune in to those, which we're publishing each week as well. But Brian, what do you see? We kind of like to have the team on and get their opinions. It feels like it's the scary out is over. Now it's the grindy out.
Yeah, you nailed it, and I think we're going to grind for a while longer. You could literally copy-paste what I say on every rundown of this current market cap over the past few weeks and just implement it for this segment. Choppy zone, we're going to go sideways for a while. There's a chance that we do see one more flush out. I wouldn't be shocked by that. Mm-hmm. But again, I kind of love the position we're in, because we got a lot of like short-term sellers. A lot of the hypey people are out of it. Now there's like a little bit more of just like, hey, we're waiting for that next leg up, the next catalyst. But it's, what is it, August 14th. I mean, in Europe and in a lot of parts, not us, because we grind, they're not even working right now. You know, we got bankers and whatnot at the Hamptons still. That's what's happening. It's everyone's kind of back to school mode. Summer's wrapping up. this isn't the time we see a lot of major moves in markets unless there's a reason for it. So I think we go sideways, maybe a little bit more on the downside. I don't think anything crazy. I'm not playing personally in the majors too much. And the reason is, I do. I always continuously dollar cost average in, but there's been a lot of on-chain activity that's been catching a lot of interest, you know, with the whole Robinhood chain. There's been a lot of interesting runners. But I want to kind of like take everyone back. When we see activity on chain, like these, like the Trenchers or the degenerates out there that we joke about in the crypto sector are always like going after NFTs or certain meme coins or RWA projects that pair with meme coins. When those are getting hyped up, usually the majors are pretty flat and they usually front run what we're going to see months down the road. So I like kind of the thesis that this is building is that we're going to go sideways for weeks longer, maybe a little bit farther down in some of the majors. Not that I think anything's wrong. I think it's a great area to dollar cost average in. Any profits I'm kind of just putting into my passive Bitcoin stack, Ethereum stacks. But I think there's better opportunities on chain for people if you really want to trade. But we're going to go sideways for a little bit, and these percentages are telling the story. We're up 0.12% on Bitcoin. You know, we're up 0.02% in the past 24 hours. That's about right. And I wouldn't be surprised to see us just kind of sit in the zone next Friday for our next show, mm-hmm. or next Thursday, whenever that is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great point. There's just not much going on for price action, but it's something that we've seen before. Again, we've all been through multiple cycles at this point doing the show, even doing the rundown now. We've been through a full cycle. So again, if you're somebody that has joined us throughout those, you've heard a lot of repetition recently, but you're also, what I like to see in my own investing is kind of seeing patterns that come and go through the cycles. So it feels almost good that you're getting some of those signals that we've covered throughout the last couple of months of kind of, you know, diving in and seeing what could, you know, you look back on in 6, 8, you know, 12 months from now and saying, hey, that was the bottom. You're kind of, you know, doing the research and checking some boxes, which you always like to see. Everybody is talking about AI right now, but the AI that actually matters is the kind that saves you time, helps you make smarter decisions, and takes work off your plate. And if you're running an e-commerce business, shipping is one of those things that can either keep you moving or completely slow you down. That's why I like ShipStation. It's an end-to-end order fulfillment platform built for e-commerce businesses, and its AI is trained on decades of real shipping data from billions of shipments across the world. So instead of juggling a bunch of different tools, ShipStation helps you stay in control. It can alert you when your stock is low, recommend the best carrier selections and rates, automate tasks, and help you save time as you grow. You also get inventory syncing across sales channels, automatic rate shopping, a branded returns portal, and integrations with accounting and CRM software, all in one place. If I were running an e-commerce store, this is exactly the kind of tool I'd want, because once the orders start coming in, you don't want shipping to be the thing that's holding you back. Over 1 million businesses have trusted ShipStation to optimize and scale their shipping. The sooner you switch, the sooner you start saving time and money. Get started with ShipStation today and get 60 days free at ShipStation.com with code crypto. That's ShipStation.com, code crypto. ShipStation.com, code crypto. Taxes and fees apply.
You know what slows teams down more than anything? It's not always the headcount budget or even the tools themselves. It's when the way work gets done lives in someone's head and never actually gets documented. Then someone new joins, a new platform gets rolled out, or a teammate leaves and suddenly everybody's doing the same process in a different way. That's exactly the problem today's sponsor, Scribe, was built to solve. Scribe is a workflow AI platform trusted by 94% of the Fortune 500. It captures workflows as they happen and turns them into step-by-step documentation your team can review and share. You just do the process like you normally would, and Scribe builds the guide as you go, capturing every click, step, and screenshot automatically. With our team being remote, I have definitely had moments where I've had to explain the same setup or process more than once to a colleague, and it always feels like something that should have been documented the first time. With Scribe, what could take hours of writing and cleanup can be ready to share in under a minute. Scribe also automatically redacts sensitive information like names, emails, and account numbers from screenshots. Admins can enforce that across the team so nothing slips through the cracks. Plus, anyone following the process can get real-time on-screen guidance showing exactly where to click inside the actual tool. Scribe doesn't just document workflows. It uses AI to suggest ways to improve them, helping you spot redundant steps and opportunities to simplify or automate. To see what Scribe could look like for your org, head to scribe.how/crypto101 and mention Crypto 101 for your first month of Scribe Capture free, on select plans. That's Scribe, Scribe.how/crypto101. I don't know about you, but dinner sneaks up on me all the time. I'll open the fridge and realize I have no protein ready. And at that point, I'm not trying to go to the store, make a last-minute grocery run, and gamble on whatever meats or burgers are left at the store. That's why Omaha Steaks is a great freezer move. It's like having a trusted butcher at home and quality protein when you need it the most. Omaha Steaks has earned its reputation with over 100 years. It's the same beef trusted in kitchens across the country, shipped straight to your door. Steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. Your family will think dinner took hours, but it didn't. Just minutes. And if you never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect place to start. You get 20 premium steak burgers made from 5 different cuts of steak. 4 filet mignon burgers, 4 New York strip burgers, 4 ribeye burgers, 4 brisket burgers, and 4 sirloin burgers. Guys, this is the altcoin basket of burgers right here. If me and Brian were on the rundown, we would be divvying these up 50-50 because you know how we like to grill in the summer. So you're not just getting a box of burgers, you're getting different flavor profiles, different textures, and real steakhouse style variety you can throw on the grill or cook up fast during the week. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with the promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Something that I found really fascinating that's happened in the last, I think, 24 hours here, which was yesterday's news, August 13th, was Tether passing its first ever audit, which was done by KPMG, which, you know, if you're gonna have an audit, there's no other Wall Street adjacent firm to do your audit other than KPMG. Those are the big dogs, and they passed their audit, beat liabilities by $6.8 billion. And this was something that over the years you've heard a lot of noise because Tether's not a public company, so they don't know anybody. They don't know earnings reports, and their finances and all that is kept private because it's a private company. And over the years, there's been tons and tons of FUD around Tether. You know, they're obviously a huge company in the space. They have a lot of money, but you know, there was a lot of people saying, you know, that they're printing stablecoins and they don't have the assets to back it, and they're moving prices. But that's just not the case. This audit they passed with flying colors. I think it's pretty cool. Number one, for Tether, we've had Paolo Aldrino on this year. That was a great interview. He's one of the founders of Tether, and I just think for the space, when you get a KPMG audit like this, it's a validation. It's validation for Tether. It's validation for the crypto space as a whole that this is the future of finance. We're coming. So I kind of check it in that box. What about you?
Yeah, I think you broke it down perfect, TiVo. Not much to add. Just to kind of double down what you said, for years, probably the number one criticism is where's the full audit? Where's the full audit? And they made it happen. And they're showing, what was it? Reserves reportedly exceeding liabilities by $6.8 billion with a B. So kind of one of the longest running pieces of Tether FUD just took a major hit. So this is great news. This is good for the crypto industry.
Yeah, even a pal, a friend of the show, truly, came on the pod literally this year, started trolling everybody, said, when Tether audit now, with the fun spelling. So he was super, super excited. I think you'd have to go back, if you haven't listened to that episode with Bryce and Brendan and pal, it's worth going back and listening, because he did give kind of a holistic view of where he thought the market was. So again, another episode to go back and listen to. Bryce hinted, I think there was some rumblings that this was happening, and Bryce kind of tried to get him to spill the beans. And I remember Bryce, I think he asked directly, is like, who's doing the audit? Is it KPMG? And then obviously complete deflection, not releasing that information. But shout out to Bryce, who I believe was hot on the case, as he always is. And I'll hand it off to you for the next one. Get in the kitchen, everybody. Grab your tinfoil wrap here, because Brian wants to sit around and make a tinfoil hat with you and break down what we're seeing coming out of Washington. Obviously, the Clarity Act stalled, not what we wanted to see, but we kind of teed it up. There's going to be a lot going under the surface with the SEC, the CFTC, and we're starting to see it. So, Brian, I'll hand this off to you.
Yeah, I actually messaged you this morning, and I was like, hey, man, I got a tinfoil hat story, and I'm not the first one to come up with this, but things are starting to align here. So this is probably one of the stories I've watched the closest this morning. The SEC was supposed to hold this crypto meeting, I believe it was today, and then they just abruptly canceled it. So officially, it was described as a scheduling issue. That stuff happens all the time. But then when you look at what's happening with the CFTC, they have a meeting on August the 20th, literally discussing crypto's regulatory evolution from uncertainty to clarity. So, and inside the actual agenda, they're talking about what regulators can do under their existing authority while Congress works on legislation. So we have regulators clearly aren't powerless when Congress sits around. And now here's my hot take. And I want to make it very clear, this is speculation, but it's probably the truth out there. And you could certainly pull out your tinfoil hat, tinfoil hats on. But did senators essentially just tell the SEC, like they had this meeting, the SEC, did they just tell them, hey, we actually think we're going to get clarity done in September, so hold off before you create something that we have to unwind later? It kind of, the more I think about it, like the SEC's gonna kind of do what they want, and if the senators can't make this decision on the Clarity Act and we're very close with it, I'm starting to think like that could be the case. I have no evidence that this conversation happened, but Clarity gets pushed into September. The SEC suddenly cancels this meeting, and meanwhile the CFTC is openly talking about its existing authority. Just where there's smoke, there's fire. I'm starting to really think that the meeting was canceled because somebody called somebody and they were like, hey, don't do this. Don't make us look like a you-know-what. We can get this done. So I'm starting to get a little bit more blown up that we might see some clarity action. I know it's a hot take. But you know, I do pretty good with hot takes sometimes.
Man, you're gonna make me go on a Polymarket and take the 18% to pass Clarity in 2026, dude.
I'll be honest, I didn't even look at the odds because I would just be like, oh, like I need to ape into this. Yeah, it's 19 cents.
Yeah, get the hammer out.
This is like a lot of speculation. There's some people out there. Like I've been reading more about it, and you know, it just seems like that could be going on. Just the meeting abruptly canceling, and then with some other meetings happening with the CFTC, we were close. I think there's something being talked about right now behind closed doors with crypto and regulation, much more that's being disclosed to the public. And I think it's more on the positive side than we really think.
Well, it can't get much worse at where it's at right now. So
no, yeah, it can't get much worse. So where there's smoke, there's fire, and I don't know. I like my odds there that something's going down.
You know, again, not personal financial advice. This is truly, you know, borderline gambling, if not gambling, flat out. Is like you could play a trade here. It's at 18. You think these meetings next week are going to leak some positive information going into September to get this done, that 18 pops up to 30, 40, 45%. You know, it's not a bad trade.
I'm signing a transaction right now.
I think I am too, brother. I think I am too. I don't hate it at all. Cause like, again, where there's smoke, there's fire. So this August 20th meeting that Brian just talked about, this came out right before the show, is the White House is expected to host a gathering next Wednesday, August 19th. Pending the Clarity Act market structure bill in September. So the CFTC was going to meet the next day. And that's the timing of it. The attendees include digital assets and prediction market leaders, alongside traditional finance executives. They didn't, this is one of those meetings. Usually the White House, especially this administration, likes to release who's coming. It's like a big, you know, who's who. And what I read for today was they're not releasing the list yet. Now, whether the list comes out or not remains to be seen next week. We'll obviously cover that. But yeah, it's unconfirmed who's coming. It's unconfirmed if the president will even attend the gathering. So, but the summary is where there's smoke, there's fire, just like Brian said. So really interesting stuff. Just when you think the Clarity Act, quote unquote, is dead, it is. It's still got a heartbeat there.
Yeah, I mean that's the time I like to buy. I know it's like a Warren Buffett quote, but like you know, you do pretty well when everybody is against one side and it doesn't quite add up and there's just blood in the streets, you can do pretty well just from an overall trading thesis there. So we'll see how it all shakes out. I'm sure we'll have some rundowns up until that point. By no means, I think the odds are right, but I don't know. There's something going on.
Yeah,
I smell
BS. I'm out next Friday the 21st, so then we're going to do a rundown the 20th, the exact day, so we can recap the 19th. We can get the early sniffings on what's going on the 20th, and we'll break it down for you all. So, again, just another call to subscribe. Bottom right, hit the logo. Give us a like. Really appreciate it. A little active in the chat today. We got CJE. We got Trinity. Let us know where everybody's watching from. And if you're enjoying the show, any questions, let us know on this fun Friday. Even though the price action is not going our way, maybe the regulation isn't quite going our way, but it doesn't, you know, shy away these big traditional firms from getting more and more ingrained into crypto. Whenever I see a big firm offer something to their clients and to the public, I think it is a big deal worth covering. And so Fidelity here. Fidelity is going to offer a yield on their ETH. They're going to be able to add staking to its spot ETH ETF. Fidelity Fund could stake up to 100%, $480,000. So if Fidelity's staking it, you know, again, that's a long-term belief. Do you like when they these bigger firms like to start getting involved, obviously buying, holding on their balance sheet, or for customers running the funds and then staking them? Is that bullish to you? Does it matter? What do you think when you see these headlines?
No, dude, it's definitely bullish structural development for ETH. I mean, one of the most obvious arguments holding an ETH ETF, and I've said this a lot too, is why would I buy the ETH ETF and give up my staking yield? The ETH I hold, I earned a stake on. Now Fidelity's trying to change that, and they should. Their structure could allow the ETF to stake a significant portion of its ETH, retain, I think, like 85% of the staking rewards, and then potentially distribute that income back to investors. So now you're talking about ETH exposure, staking yield, and a regulatory Fidelity wrapper. That's a much easier product for traditional investors to understand. And that's where we're going. I mean, this is do it, Fidelity. It's a no-brainer, and people will like it. And maybe right off the cuff, people see this headlines like a traditional investor, and they don't fully understand it, but they will once they start getting rewards distributed to them. Then all of a sudden, I'm going to think about it twice about it as well, because I have some Bitcoin ETF. I didn't put a lot into the ETF, and because of that reason, why would I buy the ETH ETF a lot of time and give up a staking yield? Now, there's some other offerings out that they're doing that. I actually have Fidelity's Bitcoin ETF, but literally when I saw this, I was like, all right, like this is starting to make some more sense. And I think people are going to like it. I like this move. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and just something that I saw while we're talking about ETH is the Bitmine preferred stock closed at its highest closed ever since issuing. So it's going up. That's not necessarily what it's designed to do. It's supposed to be par, but it's going up. Meanwhile, Stretch has been under par for over 2 months now. I took a quick look at the chart. I think it was like early June 2nd, June 5th, where that had the first dip and then the bigger dip after. But you know, it's been 2 months since Stretch has been back to par. Meanwhile, smooth sailing over at the Bitmine preferred BMNP.
Yeah, there's consistent investor demand for these products, and that's another pathway for capital to ultimately flow towards ETH. So great to see, great to see Bitmine kind of holding it up. And the whole Stretch strategy, Sailor deal, Sailor's, like, he sold like 32 Bitcoin and like nuked the chart. But it kind of like played out exactly what we thought. And then he started selling more and more Bitcoin and just building up his cash reserves. I know you probably talked about this on past rundowns. Now they got like $4 billion in cash. And really, things didn't take as big of a hit. Like his strategy stock, it didn't take as big of a hit as I was expecting. So it's kind of to see it kind of, what's the word? Like almost like depeg from it. But this is great news for Bitmine.
It's a maturing market because the products itself are so new, much less the Bitcoin and Ethereum being what's powering them. And so it's like there's a lot of people, especially like the market in general, probably wants to test Sailor as much as he can with that balance sheet.
And so this is just the natural process of trying to figure out this digital strategy that he's doing. And it's good to, you know, obviously shake the people out that don't want to be there anymore. And it seems like he's found, at least for, you know, strategy stock, you know, he's found his people to keep it kind of where it's at. And like you said, when he's selling larger amount, he sold the small amount of Bitcoin, Bitcoin tumbled, and now he's selling much, much larger positions and it's not moving the market. So I think that's a good maturing phase of these products.
Yeah, and we're all kind of figuring this out a little bit together as well. I mean, for goodness, wasn't it Saylor who was like, yeah, I created Stretch by like talking to a chatbot?
Yeah, ChatGPT.
But not to say that like it's a good resource for sure, but like, you know, we're all kind of figuring this out a little bit, and it's good to see it mature. I think that's a really excellent way to put it.
Yeah, no, it's been fun to cover because there's always something to talk about. And on that note, not necessarily something fun to talk about, but we have a lot of loyal listeners and, you know, this is negative news, but it's something that you should know. So just to start with, Trezor wallets have had, information for people that own them might have been leaked, and it has nothing to do with passwords. I believe, you know, there's no risk of hacks or anything like that. So we got to put that out first. No, your funds are safe on Trezor. But something to note is that 11,000 customers seem to have been affected, and there's a partial data exposure. And so I read a little into this. I think it's just names, addresses, phone numbers. And so we bring this up not to really break it down or trash Trezor. It happens. The wallets are safe for now. I'm sure Trezor will alert us if there's any update on that, but you just need to be careful. This is like, you're going to be getting fished if you're in that 11,000 people that get your data leaked. Obviously, you need to be aware of phishing links, texts, calls, emails, the whole nine all the time in any, whether it's regular finance, crypto, anything. They're all over the place. But for this specific program, we know a lot of people hold Trezor. We like Trezor. We've had them on the podcast. They're on the safe wallet list. But especially if you were in that data leak, just be on the lookout. If you see anything Trezor based, calls, texts, be very, very extra, diligent about that. Anything to add, Ron?
No, I've recommended Trezor to a lot of people. I mean, I think the biggest takeaway is private keys weren't stolen. Seed phrases weren't compromised. Trezor wallets themselves weren't hacked. None of that happened. This came from a third-party shipping provider where it was, like you said, names, emails, phone numbers, physical addresses in some cases were exposed. So it's sensitive information. But it's just another reminder that self-custody solves one security problem, but operational privacy still matters. And, you know, it's stuff like this happens a lot. Just you're going to probably get a lot more phone calls on your cell phone saying that you were approved for, like, a home mortgage and call Sharon. To like follow up. It's kind of the world we live in.
Yeah. Yeah. Just so we just wanted to bring that to people's attention. Just so they're aware, because again, knowledge is power, especially in these situations. Wrapping up on some fun things in Brian's neck of the woods. Let's go to the NFT meme coin world to wrap it up. Gary V's back.
Oh, yeah.
I love this. I love when this guy comes around and starts talking his book and his projects. And he has such a way with words. So let's listen to Gary talk about his NFT projects. I love it.
I'm going to ask about the three characters that you think are kind of the most slept on right now.
Tenacious Termite, Creative Crab, and Happy Hermit Crab. Though the Gentle Giant's about to go through a massive glow up. And so if you're a Gentle Giant collector, or you're thinking about picking up a Series 2 NFT, or if you want to buy some Gentle Giant cards on eBay, I'm just giving you alpha because it's fun. I like Intuitive Iguana. Intuitive Iguana is going to have their day. Gentle Giant is getting a massive, massive, massive glow up.
You know who I bet saw that and ran to go buy a Gentle Giant is our friend Joe. I feel like Joe loves he's been to VCon. I think when he heard Gentle Giant was getting a glow up, that's our guy.
Well, Joe's a little salty at Gary V because of his fly fish restaurant like NFT. He always like actually, it's interesting enough. When I was at DraftKings, I worked pretty closely with Gary V. Was on like quite a few calls, met him quite a few times. Actually, gave him a recommendation whenever we were doing it that I wanted a collaboration between DraftKings. I don't even know how much I could say. I wanted a collaboration between V Friends and DraftKings, and I said, oh, we could do something like DraftKings D-Gen Donkey. That was my character name. And he was like, oh, he was like on the call. He's like, I actually came up with that name in the past. And we all were like laughing like, oh, yeah, you came up with it after I brought it up. But just like he is in these like social media clips, he's kind of just like that on calls and in person. And I hats off to him that he does nail some calls. But when Gary Vee starts popping up again and NFTs are moving with all these characters from 2021 start showing up all over the timeline, it's kind of the unofficial risk appetite indicator that things are starting to come back. And NFTs are kind of getting a little bit come back. Meme coins are picking up some steam. On-chain activity is picking up a steam. So this is a really good indicator. As good of an indicator as like when my father texts me, hey, is it time to buy Bitcoin? We should all be selling because Bitcoin's at the most all-time high. But I think it's interesting. He was getting a lot of slack for this. But, you know, good old gentle. I could see you wanting a gentle giant V-Friends card.
Hey, always open to everything, you know, not against anything. But we'd have to do our research, Brian. Mm-hmm. We'd have to do our research. What kind of glow-up is this? And it's not the only thing that's getting glow-ups and new things on the market. Cole, I know you've been a big follower of Cole. He created Pudgy Penguins in 21 and then sold the brand to Luka Netz, who then has kind of rode it to where it is today and built up that brand, which we've always covered on the show and are big fans of. But 5 years later, he's launching a brand new collection on Robinhood. Is it like a medieval vibe? Righthood?
Yeah. I mean, so Cole was one of the original Pudgy Penguin founders back when it was a new and now he's back with this new NFT on the Robinhood chain, which are kind of NFT projects in Robinhood are kind of popping off. So, of course, Cole's dusting it off and coming out with Sprightehood. There's obviously a lot of history and controversy around Cole and the original team. So I'm not making this a Cole endorsement by any means, but what we care about is kind of what he launched here. It's 44,444 NFTs on the Robinhood chain. So a huge collection. Dude, it sold out immediately for right around like a cool 1.3 million. And that's another signal, though, that the Robinhood chain's becoming just more than like a tokenized stock experiment that we've talked about in the past. We're seeing meme coins, we're seeing NFTs, we're seeing increasingly crypto native activity showing up there. And it's something I'm continuing to watch a lot closer because they have such a grasp on retail holders. A lot of our calls with our community have been really around Robinhood because that's where a lot of the attention is. So this is kind of like back to like when Cole starts popping up and doing NFT projects, the risk appetite's probably back on. Now, there might be something really cool behind it. I don't want to get too into the weeds. He's very controversial with Cole and like him, love him or hate him. But made a cool $1 million on 44,000 NFTs. Don't tell me NFTs are dead when that happens. It sold out like immediately.
Yeah, not a bad drop there. We gotta drop an NFT.
Dude.
We got to do Rebel Llama.
Dude,
go ahead.
You texted me that, man. And like, no joke, I have like really creative ideas of like how that would be really cool for people and the band and all of that. It's you could do some really fun stuff with NFTs and just the connection with real world marketing and assets. But Revolution Llama, dude, I love it.
The Rebel Llama took over the Orange County Fair this weekend. It was a mini viral sensation. It was quite fun. As we wrap up this Friday, pretty good live chat. Wasn't too active today, but we really appreciate everybody that tuned in. One last call. Check out below. We've got the number one coin to own right now. Bryce and the team have worked really hard on that, so check that out. And check out our other links. And if you can, give this video a thumbs up. Bottom right, one last call to subscribe. If you want to be in the lives while we're doing it live, make sure you subscribe. Turn on the bell notification so you know when we're planning these. Brian, thanks so much. Always fun doing it with you. And thank you to everybody watching and listening. I hope you have a great weekend. But that's all for now. Bye-bye, everybody.